Finally, it's here. It's really here. The presidential election, I mean. And if you like politics or love it, as I do, then this is the best of times and the worst. The best of times because this is, in part, what democracy is about. We get to see the candidates almost as often as we want to, or perhaps more than we want to if we live in Iowa or New Hampshire. And while the attack ads get old and the applause lines get stale, this is as good a time as any to remember that in parts of the world right now, people are dying for what we have. There are places where, even when the so-called leaders make a show of going through the process, there's no assurance that the choice of the people will be respected or even acknowledged. It's important to remember that. Why the worst of times? Back again to the attack ads and the attack lines and the applause lines. Some of this stuff can seem awfully small at a time when the issues are so big. And even though I've covered politics for a long time, I was never on the inside. I've never worked on, let alone run, a campaign except my own for president of the fourth grade, which I lost. And I was never invited to any of those boozy late-night gab fests I keep hearing about in movies and novels about politics. You know, the ones where the politicians spill their guts and tell their favorite confidants how they have to go through all this trivia so they can do the people's business. Like I said, I've never been to any of those, so I don't know how it's decided that someone should go out and demand an apology for some fake thing that isn't really a thing, or that somebody should get outraged over somebody bringing up something that is in fact true, or conversely, why some people don't get more mad about something that would make anybody mad. I don't really know. But I do know this. One of the hard parts here is that one person's trivia is another person's big deal. And elections are in part about reaching consensus on what really matters. These days, there's been much discussion about how polarized our politics have become and how uncivil. And I can vouch for how unpleasant it can be to be on the receiving end of a committed antagonist or two or three. And yet it is a measure of what this country is that the incivility that was a part of everyday conversation not too long ago, racial slurs, gender insults, and attacks on people's sexuality, among other things, has in fact gone underground, or is at least no longer acceptable in public discourse. What about the ideas that that kind of language represents? Well, it can't all have disappeared, or the language would have too, but language is a mark of what a culture will and won't tolerate. And if the ideas need to be debated, then so be it. Debating unpleasant questions is exactly what should be done with them. Equally pervasive and troubling are the attacks on people's motives. You can set a stopwatch by how quickly someone will accuse someone else of holding a certain point of view because he or she is getting paid to do so. But once again, it's better to ask the question and hear the answer than to fail to ask and assume. Which brings me back to the campaign. I, for one, have appreciated the debate so far. I didn't catch everyone, but I was grateful for the opportunity to hear what these candidates had to say for themselves and about each other. Now I'd like to hear from you. If you could wave a wand and make these conversations more productive, how would you do it? Ban personal attacks? Require personal attacks? Require all debates to take place with school kids on stage so the candidates would have to be reminded who this is for? Drop us a line at the usual place, npr.org/tellmemore, and let's see what we can come up with. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.